Consumers are becoming more conscious of what's in their food. The government is getting involved too with the recent tax on sugary drinks. This has prompted a wave of reformulations in the food and beverage industry to cut the amount of sugar in their products. This is all to the benefit of PureCircle, a company that produces an alternative low-calorie sweetener. I'm Julia Forshaw, and on this episode of Boardroom Talks, I'm joined by PureCircle's chief executive, Magomet Malsagov. Hello.
Hey, good morning.
To start off with, how did PureCircle go from the original stevia leaf to reformulating products so that they have less sugar?
Just a little bit of history, perhaps. We were 16 years old. We were founded back in 2001. If you sift through the noise, we are a biotechnology company in essence. Stevia was one of the 70 products that we have. But so happened back in 2004 that when we were commercializing number of products that we got a lot of interest around stevia because of its natural credentials, its ability to cut sugar and not add calories. Everybody was looking for natural solution to cut sugar and also, rightly or wrongly, saw perception around artificial sweeteners is not great. So back then, we looked at the supply chain, which was non-existent. Technology wasn't scale. Infrastructure wasn't there to produce product in scale, which is what's needed for food and beverage companies to reformulate in a meaningful scale globally, big mega brands. We decided to narrow down to stevia because it would take a lot of time, resources to get it up and running properly. And that's how we became stevia company per se. Since then, we have invested around close to $600 million, most of which is into supply chain, creating plantations, building extraction plants, building refineries, and also putting infrastructure in place globally to service companies locally. So we have six sales and marketing, formulation application labs, and customer service infrastructure regionally around the world. So we've been very busy putting that in place. This is one of those chicken and egg situations where obviously the industry is interested to use stevia, but you got to have supply chain for them to be serious with reformulation. So we had to take that risk and put that infrastructure in place. Last 5 years, we've been working actively with them to getting regulatory approvals around the world, which are also necessary for new ingredients. And also, they've been tinkering and tailoring around stevia and trying to see how it works, where it works. Unlike sugar and artificial sweeteners, stevia is not one thing. There are about 60 different molecules in the leaf, and they're amazingly different from one another. One molecule is great tasting, the other is not so. Some are sweeteners, others are not sweeteners at all. They are flavors.
Because it seemed like a lot of early stage stevia products were criticized for tasting quite a bit different to sugar.
Yes.
It was sweet, but in a different way.
Yes, because people just focused on this mentality around that sugar, stevia is just one thing, and you take leaf and extract the juice, and it will taste great, and it will taste the same. That wasn't the case. As I said, there are some molecules that have great taste, and there are some that have bitter, astringent taste. And the science is about focusing on those that have a great palatable taste and then creating leaf that has most of those.
Mm-hmm. So how does PureCircle do that differently to some of your competitors?
We're vertically integrated by necessity. I mean, if you ask me, I would be happy not to do it, but we had to do it because it's not a commodity. You can't buy leaf with predominantly great-tasting parts. You have to develop it. So we had to be vertically integrated. Understand what works in customer applications, take that knowledge back into supply chain, work on developing leaf that has a greater amount of those molecules that work for food and beverage industry, and then put that back into our system scale that, phase old leaf out, scale this leaf up, and then also develop different extraction technologies to produce them in scale at the cost that is palatable. Mm-hmm. So we are vertically integrated. We work with customers in the labs to understand what works best for them. And sometimes it's different from application to application. What works in cola could be different than what works in dairy industry, for example. And we'll get that back through the supply chain and all the way up to leaf, yeah.
So you work directly with these companies and help with the reformulation process rather than just providing them with this alternative sweetener and letting them do their own thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's sales in Pure Circle is very technical. It's opening the project. It's working with them in our application formulation labs to come up with the right solution that works for them. And then they go and test it in the market. If consumers come back with positive response, they're ready to launch, they give us PO. That's how it works. Mm-hmm. And then we also put that back into our planning long term. If we see a big brand launch with a particular blend, we know which type of leaf required to produce that blend. And that's then taken into planning by our supply chain folks.
And Pure Circle's sales were hurt in the 2017 results by this absence from the U.S. market, and that's now rectified itself. But can you explain what happened there and how this will be different going forward?
Yeah, I hate cliche words like disruption industry, but in a sense we are. We are disrupting sugar industry in some way. And in some parts of the world, sugar lobby is still very strong. So we were wrongly accused, our supply chain was wrongly accused of having forced labor in the U.S. And we had to go through an audit process that lasted 8 months by the U.S. authorities. So they went through all entire supply chain from leaf all the way through to conform that our supply chain was indeed on the right footing and the accusations were without basis and we were freed. But that 8 months cost us a bit of pain.
And so is this something that happens reasonably frequently, this sort of audit, or?
The audit of our supply chain happens every 6 months, and that's been going on for almost 10 years now, since 2005. That audit is done by our customers, major food and beverage customers. But this specific audit was done by U.S. Customs and Border Agency that received the complaint. Anonymous complaint against us. So that was done one off. We have never done it with them before, and I suspect good thing about it, if there is any good thing, is that they know our supply chain very well now. So,
So if another anonymous complaint were to come through, would this cycle have to happen all over again,
or is there
kind of time of grace that they've done this? Know that everything's legit and they don't have to do it again.
I doubt it will happen again because they know the supply chain very well now. We kind of tick that box. I don't think it will happen again.
Yeah. Okay. And so for the current financial year that you're in now, how do you expect the numbers to look different?
We will be growing. I expect double digits. To what extent, it depends on the next 3 months, because we're in the season now. A lot of projects in the pipeline go live during April, May, June timeframe, mostly in Europe and in U.S. That's because our sales profile is still skewed towards Europe and U.S. a lot. Largely because we got approvals in U.S. and Europe earlier than any other part of the world. But as we get more and more projects rolled in Asia, places like India or Middle East, and North Asia, places like China, Southeast Asia, and also some Latin American markets, that sales profile, which is usually skewed towards second half and mostly last quarter, we'll kind of rebalance. That's what we hope for.
All right. And what do you feel is the investment case for someone who's looking to potentially buy shares in PureCircle?
I think my message would be forget about PureCircle, forget about Stevia for a second. I think one needs to ask a question: do we believe 20 years from now food and beverage products will contain the same amount of calories that they have today? If the answer is no, then the question is, how are they going to reduce that sugar and those that amount of calories moving forward? No one has magic wand. You can do it only by two things. A, you just reduce sugar and don't add anything back, in which case your product will have less sugar, but it will be less sweet too. That may work in some products, but a lot of products out there will not be practically eatable. You still want your sweetness, you just don't want the calories. That means you need to add something back. And when you add something back to boost that sweetness, you have to add something without calories. And when it comes to that, you only have four artificial sweeteners today. You all know the names. And one natural solution. You only have five options today that would practically, in large scale, the cost-effective way, allow you to moderate your calories down and still maintain the sweetness you need. In that context, then the question is, how big is the market potential? Sweeteners overall is about $70 billion. Sugar is about 60 of that. High fructose corn syrup, which is primarily North American play, is about 7. And high-intensity sweeteners collectively is about 3 to 5. We believe 20-30% sugar will be reduced if you project based on what WHO guidance is on sugar intake, and that means by 2050, if the consumption of sugar as it is today continue, you will have about 250 million metric tons of sugar consumed. Today is about 180 million. So 30% of that is about 50 to 60 million metric tons of sugar needs to be replaced. That's around 200,000 metric tons of stevia or any other artificial sweetener, or collectively all the sweeteners together. So the question is then, what portion of that potential will be taken by natural high-intensity sweeteners rather than artificial? And how much of that natural would be stevia? Given that there is no tangible alternative to stevia today, and we don't foresee in near future anything natural that would compete with it in scale and the taste and the cost as well, we think, based on what the feedback from customers, the preference is to use natural sweeteners against artificial. So if supply chain is there, if cost in use is within acceptable boundaries, taste is there, majority of that potential will go into natural and stevia. So you could see an industry that is about anything in between $5 to $10 billion next 20, 25 years. Now, in that context, what we believe PureCircle will be and what our advantage is and what market share we will have if that indeed that market indeed emerges. As I mentioned, we are vertically integrated. We have a huge amount of intellectual property. We are scaled. That $500-600 million I mentioned earlier went into supply chain. We have customer service infrastructure globally in place. We have over 300 customers that we work with directly. Global, local, regional. Given the fact that this product is natural, you also need to have supply chain in place. And supply chain is a bottleneck, in my opinion, given the fact that we have done it and how much it cost us in time, etc. So we believe, all in all, we believe we have 5 to 7 years first move advantage when it comes to scale. So I hope that we can get majority of that share. We're certainly best place to get majority of that share. That said, we also need to execute and don't overdo it, don't underdo it. So manage the process in a way that is sustainable.
And shares are looking rather expensive right now from sort of a PE perspective. And so do you think that's justified then by this future earnings growth?
Yeah, I mean, PureCircle is looked at from what the future is. I think if you look at the current infrastructure we have, and our infrastructure is designed and invested, fully invested today, is for $500 million in sales, which would churn around $200 million EBITDA once we get there. I don't know where we are in terms of valuation today, but roughly, I think it's half there. Give or take, share price has been up and down recently. So if you look at from invested dollars and available capacity point of view, it has still a way to go. But we need to deliver as well. Yeah.
Well, that's great. Thank you. For more Boardroom Talks podcasts, head to the Investors Chronicle website, iTunes, or ICAST.